What's up, queens? Welcome to the Female Dating Strategy Podcast, the meanest female-only podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Savannah, and today I am joined by another one of our fabulous guest hosts. So just to park the bus briefly, we had a really, really good crowd of applicants for the podcast host positions. And I just want to say that I'm super, super proud of all of them. Putting yourself out there on a podcast is not an easy thing to do, especially if it's not something that you're accustomed to. So I just wanted to break a bit away and just say I'm really, really proud of all the women like who are coming on here, you know, to basically audition, I'll say audition in quotation marks, but also to share, you know, their ideas and their episodes with us, because it's not an easy thing to do. And I really appreciate being able to talk to each and every single one of them. That aside, we now have another one of our very, 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 very special guests. We've got Maddie joining us today. Hello, Maddie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
So just before we get into the main episode, which I'm a huge fan of this topic, I talk about, you know, what Maddie's going to talk about all the time on the Discord, if anyone's in there still. But just before we get into that, Maddie, I just wanted to ask you a bit about your FDS journey. So how did you come to find FDS and why you applied to be a host on the podcast?
So I actually found FDS by accident. I was looking at something on Reddit and like all these people were just kind of talking about it, saying like, oh, just really negative things. So I went and read it.
Oh, skirt propaganda.
Yeah. So I went and read it and I was like,
that's the skirt propaganda. Love it.
Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, like I'm going to see some good stuff here because like the things people were saying were just like so crazy. And this was probably like late 2019, so it was a while back. And I was just kind of scrolling through and I was just like, okay, so it's just women talking about standards, basically. And anyway, so nothing too crazy to me. And then I kind of forgot about it until we went into COVID lockdowns, because with my job, I couldn't work for months. And I don't know. And then after lockdown and I was dating again, like all this stuff, it just kind of stayed in my mind. And I don't know. I felt like it worked really well. And when I applied for this hosting thing, I was just kind of like, oh, like nobody really talks about this kind of stuff in like relationship centered things, because it's very much, is men giving advice or is women that are pick me's doing this. So I just kind of wanted to be a part of it. I think I have lots of good stories out there and all that. So I thought I would just give it a try. And yeah, that's about it. And now I'm here.
Yeah. And ultimately that's, you know, what it's about. I mean, when I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure Ro and, you know, Lilith will perhaps have similar stories. But when we started the podcast, we had no clue what we were doing. We just got a bunch of microphones, set a recording time and just started speaking into the microphone. And I guess over time, you sort of come into your own. But yeah, you know, what you just said, Maddie, just took me back to November, December 2020, when we conceptualized the podcast as well. So yeah, again, it's not an easy thing to do, but it definitely becomes easier over time. So yeah, I promise it becomes easier over time. Okay. And sometimes, as if you've ever listened to some of our episodes, I sometimes forget that Ro and I, or the three of us were recording. I listen to it back and I think, did I really just say that in front of X amount of people?
Yeah.
It just feels like having a conversation with a really awesome group of women. So but yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story, Maddie. And yeah, so to intro your episode, I think this episode is super, super topical at the moment. So I'm really, really glad that you drafted an awesome episode outline for us to discuss today. Did you want to introduce your episode and, you know, why you wanted to discuss this particular topic? Because I think it's really, really interesting.
So I had a topic of being a stay-at-home girlfriend.
Ooh, I mean, sorry, so I'm not booing you, I'm booing the idea, sorry.
Yes, yeah. So basically, it's just something that I see all the time now. Like, I don't know anybody in my everyday life that does any of this, but like, I see it a lot. Like, TikTok was the main thing that I was I kept seeing it and I was like, okay, I think this is going to be my topic. Like when I was thinking about what to write, because I had so much content for it, actually.
A stay-at-home girlfriend is somewhat like a baby trad wife.
Yeah, she's probably never be a wife, but
oh,
she probably hopes. But yeah, basically, that's what it is. She just, you know, stays at home, looks after her boyfriend. But I kind of wanted to discuss if it can be a good idea or there's smart ways to do it. So it seems to be mostly young women that moving in with their boyfriends, and what they do is they take care of him, they mother him, you know, they clean up after him, they cook for him. I don't know why they do it, but that's what they do.
And are they working when they're having this arrangement?
It doesn't seem to be. Like, I think lots of them, they're quite young, so maybe they just finished university, or maybe they worked for a little bit, but their job is basically to take care of their boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not good. And I don't think it's a super new trend, because we've always taken care of men. And I think you see it a lot when men are widowed. They always seem to find somebody else like so fast. Or if they can't, they'll usually have daughters or other women in the family come and take care of them. Like, actually, in my family, we had this one family member. He was married to his wife for a long time, like decades and decades. And when his wife passed away, he got like a girlfriend, I swear, like months later. It was like really fast. And everybody kind of just, we talk about it secretly, but because we all think it's so weird. Like, you're married to somebody for 40 years and then you just kind of, you know, you just find somebody new.
You just find a new replacement. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically how I kind of look at their relationship. Like, they're also kind of a weird match, but he probably doesn't care, right? So that's what he's doing. Or sometimes the daughter comes to take care of him too. So it's, they always need somebody, it seems.
Mm-hmm. They tend to lean on women in their life as well, not necessarily their sons or their brothers or their, you know, other male relatives too.
They know that their sons aren't gonna do any of that, so like, why try? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rant for another day.
Yeah, I think so. But so I have seen some of these girlfriends that do become fiancés. I don't know if they'll ever get married, but they do become fiancés, so we'll see what happens with them. But the main thing that they seem to do is they wake up early, they'll make their boyfriend a coffee, make him breakfast, then she'll clean up. They always seem to have like an hour-long skincare routine, and then she always goes to Pilates. And then she comes home, takes care of her boyfriend for the rest of the evening. Sometimes I see that they go on vacations together, and if she's really lucky, he will give her a girlfriend allowance and she can spend that on whatever she wants.
What's a girlfriend allowance? What is that?
I think like he sends her money or like a certain amount for the week and she can go buy whatever she wants with it. Or maybe he gives her cash or a credit card in her name, something like that. I think you have to find one that's like kind of wealthy for that. I don't think most are getting this, but
yeah, I was thinking, I don't think most of them are probably getting an even a fraction of this financial support, to be honest.
Yeah, I think most men that do this are really lazy, and they probably, I don't know, just work some job like making, you know, 20K a year, 30K a year, 40K a year. Like, he's not going to be giving her lots of money to spend, because he'll probably want to control everything as well. So the ones that seem to be with these men that are, I don't know, like seem to have like a bit more like these nicer homes, they do talk about getting an allowance, but they don't really explain like how much they get or how they get it. So I assume it's like a credit card, or he sends her money on like Well, here we have e-transfers, but I don't think they have that everywhere. Or Venmo, something like that.
So it's basically, I don't mean this to sound offensive, but it's basically almost like the hired help, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, these women are basically doing, I wouldn't even call them wife privileges, because I think to some extent, especially given the gap between men and women when it comes to doing housework, I don't even think that should be like a husband privilege, personally, in light of that. I think that we, you know, women as a collective, or just society as a collective, we need to be pressuring slash shaming slash whatever else thing, you know, men into doing their fair share around the house anyway. And I feel like these sorts of stay at home, like girlfriend, you know, trad life, etc., it just completely sets us back in making it more equitable, especially seeing as a lot of the men that this is aimed at, you know, like you said, Maddie, they're probably not like the wealthy sort of men, because a wealthy man, you know, they would recognize that they can outsource a lot of this labor. So they don't necessarily need like a Mommy McBang maid around, because they can hire cleaners, they can hire chefs, you know, they can hire housekeepers and PAs and stuff like that. And so, you know, the type of man that would find this sort of arrangement appealing is probably not going to be, you know, deemed to be conventionally successful in that regard as well.
Yeah, like it definitely is a cost thing. It's probably much cheaper to just have your girlfriend live at your home and she can do all that stuff. So you don't have to hire, you know, like a personal chef or a maid. It's just, it's like what cheap guys do.
100%. And like men, you know, they know the score. They know the value of having a woman or being in a relationship or a marriage. They understand that value very, very well. They pretend that they don't, but that's just them being deliberately ignorant, because they don't want to admit how much they benefit from just having a woman around.
Yeah, and actually I do kind of sometimes, like in my job, I meet lots of different people, and the single men that I meet, they always are, oh, they talk about, oh, I love being single. Why would I want a girlfriend? If I have a girlfriend, I have to spend money on her and I have to take her places. And, you know, she's never going to like spend money on me. She's never going to take me out. And it's just, it's very much like a cope. It's like, well, I don't think you have a line of women waiting to be your girlfriend. So you might as well just get used to the idea of, oh, at least I can save money now. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes them feel good, I think. But the thing about their relationships, too, is it's not really healthy, because there's no way she can leave him if she has no money. Like, yeah, if he dumps you, you'll be homeless because you have no money. You either didn't start a career or you've been out of the game for a long time. So basically you're starting at the bottom. If you can find somewhere that would hire you without like having no experience at mid-20s, early 30s, and you basically just gave up so much for a boyfriend, like you gave up like your earning potential for him and maybe like your education you kind of just threw away, like any start on getting an independent life, like you're just behind now, and you just did it for a boyfriend who didn't want to commit and he can just leave and you'll get nothing.
Right. It's also, you know, geography as well. Sometimes, and I've seen it within my friendship circle, where women have moved in with men, but the man, or, you know, the place that they're living in is in an area where there isn't, you know, the job prospects aren't as good, or the houses are so expensive that they can never buy one. So that can also set women back as well. You know, if you happen to cohabit with a man who lives in an area where it's just not geographically very favorable for trying to, you know, for trying to build yourself. And as you rightfully said, it's even riskier being a stay-at-home girlfriend than a stay-at-home wife, because at least if the relationship was to end, you are entitled, or possibly entitled, to things like alimony, or you can even go after his pension, for example. But when you're just a girlfriend, you don't have all those legal protections, which is why I feel like women who move in with a man and start building assets together and, you know, having kids together when they're not married, this is a risky, risky, really, really risky move. I mean, even getting married to a man in the UK, it's deemed to be one of the biggest risk factors to women's success. I'll drop the article in the show notes, but basically several, you know, women who've been divorced have said, you know, getting into a relationship with a man is the biggest risk facing any woman. So basically choose wisely. And being a stay-at-home girlfriend, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's very similar here. So, yeah, I actually do have a friend that has been living with a boyfriend for, oh my God, it must be like 10 years they've lived together.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're not married. I believe everything is 50-50 for finances, but he makes more money, of course, so. You know, so she's also kind of losing out on that. And I just feel like if I bring it up, it's, oh, but 50-50 is the fairest way to do everything. Or, oh, well, actually, I know I was talking about getting married for the last 5 years, but I'm okay if we never do it. You know, it's just, oh, I don't get it.
It just sounds like it's cope.
Yeah.
You know, and no, like 50-50 isn't the fairest way to do things if you have a huge income disparity. And in actual fact, it advantages the man to go 50-50 because he's actually paying less. So isn't really, and you know, this is part of the reason why the equality argument has fallen flat on its face, because, you know, what women really should have been asking for from the jump was equity, not equality. Understanding that, you know, if a woman earns less, or statistically we're likely to earn less for many factors, but, you know, one of them being the fact that we're women and we're female, and for men or society to act accordingly and not just split things down the middle, that I feel like we would have gone a lot further than we have, because, you know, we were sold, and I guess society, and I suppose like men were sold, oh, you're after equality. And it's like, well, no, equity is really what people should be after.
Yeah, we can't make up like all the things that have happened from like the beginning of time to now. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just, it's even now, you know, I think we're still very much behind, like in society compared to men too. So like, there's really no point in asking for equality if maybe the next 2000 years men are kind of treated like how we have been. Well, then maybe things can kind of equal out, but that's never going to happen.
Exactly. And equity is really the only way to get us there. You know, so in terms of the, you know, let's say, for instance, because I recognize that not everyone, that people who listen to this podcast are at different stages of their journey, FDS journey. So we have, you know, some women who can recite the handbook back to front, and we also have some women who might be curious, right? So what sort of advice or tips, I guess, would you give to a woman who is considering, it may not even be the full, I guess, like semi-trad wife arrangement, but even just moving in with a boyfriend, you know, what would be your advice?
Yeah, I think if you're going to live with a boyfriend, like even apart from this stay-at-home girlfriend and not having a job, I think you just have to keep your money separate. I think you shouldn't make big decisions with him. I think he should also have to pay for most things. And I think you need to put your money into a savings or something, because if he finds somebody new and just dumps you immediately, well, now you need a damage deposit on an apartment, or, you know, or you got rid of all your furniture, so now you have no furniture. Or you're going to have to buy like all this stuff. Like, it's going to cost you probably a few thousand dollars to like do all this. And then it's worse for these stay-at-home girlfriends, because if they get kicked out, it's like, oh, okay, well, I have nothing. So I really think if these stay-at-home girlfriends are smart, they would take, if they get a girlfriend allowance, they need to take it, and they need to invest it in something, or use that money to make money for themselves, or, you know, or get these boyfriends to like to do something. So if something happened, she can have some kind of income after. Because I think it will take some time for somebody like that to get back on their feet versus if you're living with a man and you have a job. You know, I think the most stressful part of that is just moving out, which costs money. But hopefully you've been saving all your dollars just in case of something like that happens. So I was also just going to say, too, when these women live with men, whether or not they have jobs, is they're probably going to do a lot more in the home, too. So you kind of need to have some kind of fairness there. So it's like if I go and work, you know, 40 hours a week, and he also works 40 hours a week, when he gets home, that's the end of his day. Like, he's not, for the most part, like, he's not going to go, oh, I'm going to go clean up. I'm going to go, oh, buy the groceries. I'm going to make supper for us. Like, he's just not really going to do that. Like, we come home and then we have to do everything else for the rest of the night, too. But, you know, it's something that they don't either want to admit, or they know and then they act stupid about it and kind of say, oh, but I washed one dish today, so you need to be grateful or something. But I think it just goes to, they just don't see that stuff as important. They just see it as it's something that gets done, right? Yeah, like they come home and it's, oh, dinner's ready, or it's almost ready, but they don't know about it. Or they come home and there's always like a fridge full of groceries or something. They didn't shop for that, I'm sure, but just to them, it's like, oh, well, the fridge is always full, so that's just how it is. Oh, there's always clean dishes. That's just how it is. Like, they don't think we're doing all these things because we don't really talk about it. Like, we kind of just do them silently. And then when a man, you know, cleans the bathroom, he's always so excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
Telling us, oh, but look what I did for you. But we clean the bathroom every day, and then he'll do it one time in his life, and it's this big deal for him. So I actually used to live with a boyfriend when I was younger, like early 20s, I used to live with one. And honestly, at that time, it wasn't, most of my friends were living with boyfriends and girlfriends. So it just was one of those things where it's just like, oh, that's what you do. So I did it. It was not very good. So now I never want to do that again. But when I lived with him, he went back to school. Like, after high school, he didn't go into like college or university for like a few years. So he went to school and then I work. And I basically had to make all of the money. And yeah, he worked a little bit, but I was pulling in like 90% of our like household income, basically. And, you know, and at that time I was kind of like, oh, don't worry about this. I'll do it. Like everything at home, like, oh, it's okay, I'll do the laundry. Or, oh, okay, don't worry about this. Like, you need to focus on that. And I did it.
No.
The whole time he was there. And he ended up dropping out. So actually it was, didn't matter that I did all this stuff for him anyway, because he just kind of gave up and was like, oh, okay, I'm done. And but this one day, like, I just kind of had a day where I thought, oh, I don't want to do any of that today. Like, I just want to lay in bed all day. This is my day off. I am not doing anything. But when he kind of noticed, you know, these certain things weren't done, he was like, oh, well, why didn't you go grocery shopping? Why didn't you do this? Why is this like that? Because, like, he never thought about me doing anything. It was just, you know, it was just magically it's done all the time for him. And then when I decided that I wanted to go to school, I kind of talked to him like, hey, you know, I helped you out a lot. Do you think when I go back in a few months, can you kind of contribute more? Like, I was working part time, but it's not enough here, you know? So I kind of told him, like, yeah, can you do this? And he said, yes, he'll do it. And then about midway through my first year back, he just decided he didn't want a job, like, period. Like, he just wanted to stay home and do nothing. And then I had to start working more, and I never had money because I spent time in school, and then I had to work, and then I had to do, eventually, like, I had to get like a second part-time job. So I was just doing all this stuff for him, like, so he could just sit around and do nothing. And I remember this one day I just decided, well, this is some bullshit. So I looked for an apartment and I got the keys to an apartment, and then I broke up with him, and then he didn't have a job. So actually, I don't really know what happened, because he just didn't have a job and I was like moving out in a week.
Oh my gosh.
So I told him, well, you can deal with that. I have a new place to live now. And then the rumor I heard is he married his next girlfriend like quickly, like within months. Like, he proposed and then they just like quickly got married. So I assume she now supports him. But I don't really know. That was just the rumor I heard after. So they don't change. Yeah. So never again. Actually, after that, like later on when I found FDS and all these, I saw all these things about, oh, don't live with a boyfriend, like get engaged first. I was kind of like, oh, it's so obvious now. Now that I did it the wrong way, it makes sense now. So it's very much true.
I mean, I've always even been of the opinion, like, I wouldn't even live with a husband if I ever get married. It'll be like separate houses, ideally. But yeah, that's just me, though.
Sometimes I think about, like, I want to live in a duplex or something, and then I live on one side and then he lives on the other side. Like, sometimes I think about that if I was to get married. So I get it. Some people think it's weird because they're like, oh, you wouldn't want to live with your husband? And it's just kind of, well, no, I have a life, so I don't need to be around him all the time. And then you can decorate how you want, and you just, I don't know. Sometimes it's just nice to have your own space. I know for me, I'm very, quite introverted. So sometimes it's, I get home and I'm just happy that nobody else lives with me. And it's just, I can be quiet and be in a quiet place.
Well, yeah. And, you know, from a practical standpoint as well, it means if you have an argument or you split up, then you're not all of a sudden scrambling for accommodation or somewhere to live. Or, I mean, I get the idea of separate houses is, you know, radical, and I understand my essential privilege because not everybody is able to afford two separate homes, especially seeing as the cost of living crisis. I think it's, you know, further pushing women into these situations where they have to be dependent on men for housing.
Yeah, that's kind of the other thing. Actually, when I had written this, I just, you know, I actually didn't really think about that. But I feel like in the months since I've written this, it's just like, I feel like things have gotten much worse now. So I do think it kind of puts us in a bad position where it's like, oh, do we move back in with our parents? Do we just, you know, live with this guy because it makes things easier? Or, you know, do we tough it out or something? Like, it's kind of, like, I don't blame anybody, but it's very hard to decide sometimes, like, what's the right thing to do.
What would be the FDS approach to this situation, in your opinion, Maddie? So if we had, say, a woman who is into FDS and she comes across a guy, he's like, let's move in together. He can even say, quit your job and, you know, just... I mean, they never really implicitly... they hardly ever explicitly say, you know, a woman needs to move in and do... end up doing XYZ for me. They never say it.
Yeah, they're never gonna say it up front. Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly think, because it's more the expectation, it's also just how it is. It's like you're just kind of expected to do all that stuff while he's just not expected to. I think the expectation for men mostly is, oh, but I get to bring in the money and then you can do everything else. But, you know, like in my situation, it was like, oh, you can do everything and have a job and I don't need a job.
Ew. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would be the FDS approach to this sort of arrangement, or the offer of this arrangement, I should say?
Well, I would say the first thing is just don't do it. But yeah, if you do.
Basically, don't do it. It's a scam. It's a trap.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It is. Like, you'll be trapped into doing everything. So just don't do it. I think, yeah, like, you just have to find a way to split things. Like,
that benefit you. So, you know, none of this 50-50 stuff. Like, you just need to find a way, if you think, okay, I can benefit from living with him, okay, hopefully it works out and you really do benefit. But yeah, I would say, like, he just kind of has to provide almost everything. Like, you don't want to go in and having to do everything for him. But I think you'll find pretty early on with living together what he, if he's trying to, like, trap you into doing things. So you also want to have some money to leave real quick. Because that's basically what I had to do, was, like, I had some money and I was like, okay, I can put a damage deposit on an apartment so I can leave. But sometimes, yeah, it's not like that. But yeah, I would say, like, the very first sign of, like, basically making you do everything, you need to leave. Just, you'll find something, you know, you'll find something, you'll find somebody better.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add to that as well, I think all women, whether you're FDS or not, you need to find out, you know, where your line is and, you know, what you're willing to do or not do, you know, at various stages of a relationship. So, you know, there might be, I don't know, just dating privileges and then boyfriend privileges and then husband privileges if you want to get married. But I feel like a lot of women get into trouble when they blur those lines and they start almost, you know, breaking their own boundaries or accelerating a guy to the husband stage when they're at the dating stage or the boyfriend stage. And, you know, I believe that these different stages take on different meanings for a reason. So, you know, like being in a marriage, for example, that is a legally binding agreement and that comes with a different set of privileges, even from the state. So it's like, you know, if you're acting like a wife, you know, for a boyfriend, when the state doesn't even legally recognize you as his wife, like nobody else recognizes you as his wife, that's recipe for disaster, you know, especially if you end up resorting to breaking your own boundaries and standards in the hopes that, you know, if you like build a life together, in quotation marks, then he's more likely to stick around because, you know, men don't always see it that way, you know?
Yeah, actually, the very first time I ever came across this concept of, okay, like, I will do this for a boyfriend, I will do this for a fiance, I'll do this for a husband. Like, I had never heard about this until I found FDS, and it made so much more sense. So I do think that's the right way to do it. Like, you kind of have to think about what you're okay with doing at each stage of a relationship. And I know sometimes it's kind of hard sometimes to be kind of hard with those boundaries, because I know I always had such a issue with boundaries. I've changed a lot now. Like, now I'm fine with it. But, oh, when I was younger, it was just so hard. I think it's something that you kind of have to have that mindset of, like, when you're younger, to, like, see these benefits of, like, what it's like to have strong boundaries. Because I know for me, I struggled for, like, a long time. And even, well, not so much lately, but even, like, a few years ago, like, sometimes I would, like, kind of drop those boundaries a little bit. And it never would work out well. But, you know, now I know.
I think it's, but yeah, like you say, Maddie, it's about coming back to that compartmentalization, because I feel like men are better at compartmentalizing than women are. Like, you wouldn't see, or it's quite rare for you to see, for example, a man who, you know, with a friends with benefits, he's a woman. It's actually quite rare in my experience for them to fully treat them as a girlfriend. Like, they might be doing all the lovey-dovey stuff, but they'll always make it clear that, you know, they're not their girlfriend, and they will draw a line as to the things that they, you know, that they're willing to do within the context of that friends with benefits relationship. But I feel like sometimes for women, the lines can be more easily blurred, especially seeing as, you know, we have a lot of noise in the background about, you know, what makes a good wife, what makes a good home and stuff like that. And it's almost like, on some fronts, we feel like we still need to audition, you know, for the right to be in a man's life. And that's just not the case at all. And again, the man won't see it as an audition. He just sees it as, you know, I've got to I've basically got a bang maid, and you know, I may or may not decide to marry her, but if I don't decide to marry her, it's on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like dating is very much kind of turned into this, like, oh well, what can she do for me? And it sometimes it does really feel like you're trying to audition to be a wife, but you know, you're a girlfriend, so you know, why should I do wife things? But it does kind of, I do see it a lot with dating. It's almost like you, there's this expectation of you to like perform really well until you get that ring, I guess you could say. Yeah,
until you get the the shackles of the ring. No, I'm joking, but yeah.
And then you'll kind of wonder why you wanted it so bad.
I know, right? Yeah, this, oh gosh. But then again, there's also the argument that if you're doing, I mean, if, you know, getting, you know, married is important to a woman, then I think it's like doubly important that she sticks to her progressive boundary, so to say, because there are many, many women who have, unfortunately, they've ended up sleepwalking into a situation where they are either a forever girlfriend or a baby mama, and there's not a ring on the horizon. And that's partly links back to the topic of this episode, where basically playing house with a man, even if he, I mean, I still think that these men know what they're doing by withholding, you know, the security of, you know, marriage and a stable relationship. They absolutely know what they're doing. But then it just goes back to that old saying, like, you know, what's the point if you're, it's actually a lot more financially beneficial for a man to have a woman who is his girlfriend, who is having his kids, who he shares a house with, you know, than a wife. And they know this as well, especially in terms of the legal liabilities. A girlfriend isn't entitled to alimony, for example, or spousal support.
Yeah, and I know sometimes it's different depending where you are, but you definitely get the best outcome in a breakup if you're married. But, you know, some of these guys too, it's when they've been with their girlfriend for a while, it's, oh, well, I don't really want to get married until XYZ happens. And then sometimes, like these girlfriends, they'll jump through hoops just trying to make XYZ happen and be like, oh, can we get married now? Because I did all this stuff that you wanted me to do. But the thing is, well, now he knows that you'll just do whatever he says.
100%.
That eventually, like, the marriage won't happen because, like, he'll just get everything he wanted. He'll get everything from a marriage without actually having to legally do anything.
To legally commit. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But, like, some of these, like, TikTokers and these types of content creators, too, I see a lot of them talking about, I think it comes from more like trad wife stuff, where they sort of talk about, oh, like this is the feminine thing to do. You look after your man and stuff like this. And they think, I don't know, it's almost like religious in a way, because they'll talk about, oh, it's your aura, and oh, all women have this like nurturing ability, and this is what we need to do all the time. So it's almost like it's very traditional, but they're still with men that don't want to marry them. You know, it's strange. It's so strange. But sometimes you do kind of see, I think there's more women now calling out this sort of stuff, which is nice. Like, yeah, because I feel like even a few years ago, I never saw like stuff being called out, but now I think there's more younger women like, you know, speaking out and like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do that for a boyfriend? You know? And sometimes these more traditional women too, they'll just say, oh, but like, what's wrong with taking care of your man? Why does everybody hate men these days? Is what I saw somebody say. Like, oh, why does everyone hate men these days? Well, why wouldn't we? But not that I hate men, but it's like,
yeah, exactly.
They don't really do themselves much of a favor here, you know? It's like, you know, there's just, the value is very different, I think. Because, you know, if I think, oh, I'm going to go live with my boyfriend, well, he gets much more from me being there than I get from being with him. It's like the evaluations are very different between us, right?
100%. So I guess the key takeaways from this episode are basically don't be a stay-at-home girlfriend, but if you must, approach with caution, but don't be a stay-at-home girlfriend.
Yes, but also don't do it. Yeah.
Basically, don't do it. It's not, and it's not even about is it FDS aligned or not, but I feel like in the vast majority of cases, it's just not in a woman's best interest to move in prematurely with a man without, or to even begin to share something like a home or other assets or even a dog without just having that sort of legal protection. So it's really, really important to ensure you get your ducks in a row financially, just to make sure that you're not completely done over, because the last thing you want is your entire being and your way of life and your accommodation to be tied to your relationship status, which is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think one of the best things you can like really get out of a relationship from a man anyway is more companionship. But you know, they don't really even want to do that. Like, they don't want to be like your best friend or your like your partner in life, like going through life being your number one support, your partner, your best friend. Like, you know, they don't want to do that anyway. Like when I think about, oh, what kind of man would I want to marry? Or like, what's in it for me if I get married? And a big thing for me is, well, the companionship, right? Like, I want to be with my best friend kind of thing. But you know, it just seems they don't even know how to be that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like, again, I think you raise a really good point, Maddie, about also appraising what you want out of the relationship as well. Besides things like, I want to be a wife, or, you know, well, I just want a companion, which is all well and good, but you also need to think about, okay, what quality of life do you want? What sort of qualities do you want from the relationship? How do you want to feel in the relationship as well? I think being explicit about that and knowing that as well can also really, really help you when it comes to dating and trying to navigate these situations, because it's easy to sleepwalk into situations that are just not favorable or not in your best interest. And I feel like a lot of women who end up trapped in these situations don't do it deliberately is the wrong word, but they don't do it thinking that it's gonna turn out bad for them. I think genuinely believe a lot of them go into it with good intentions, but unfortunately, partly due to ignorance and partly due to the failed state that is men, it ends up being a deeply inequitable arrangement for them that they find themselves in.
Yeah, it is very much like that. And I think, you know, if you're a woman who's looking to date men, I think you really have to sit down and really think about, why do you want to get married? Like, why do you want to date? Like, why do you want a boyfriend? Why do you want to get married one day? It's just because I do think there's lots of women out there and it's just, oh, well, that's what you do. Or, oh, I want kids by the time I'm 30 or something. And they just kind of have these ideas of what they're supposed to do at certain points in their life. And they don't really think about, they don't sit and think, well, you need so much more from your husband than him just, you know, being there. Because I don't, you know, they just, maybe sometimes they'll fix things around the house, but you kind of need a bit more than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. Any final thoughts, Maddie, before we wrap up?
No, I think I said everything I wanted to say.
Cool. Thank you so much for bringing this topic to the podcast, Maddie. I thought it was really interesting. And yeah, let us know what you think about the stay-at-home girlfriend phenomena. Is it something that you would consider doing? Probably not. Do you know anyone who's done it? Let us know your thoughts in the comments. It'll be interesting to read them. But that is our show for this week. You can check us out on Twitter at femdatstrat. We are in the process of recording new episodes for the Patreon, so hopefully that will be back up and running soon with more exclusive content. www.patreon.com/thefemaledatingstrategy. Thanks for listening, queens, and for all you lazy scroats out there, die mad. See you next week.